So I'll be talking about STDs among individuals enrolled in Washington State's HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis drug assistance program. Just a little bit of background about HIV in Washington State. There are more than 12,000 individuals living in Washington State who have HIV, and that's at the end of 2004. And between 2010 and 2014, the state averaged just slightly under 500 new cases of HIV per year, which is showing to be decreasing every year. Men consist of 85% of the new cases during that time period, and of those, of men, 77% were attributed, of those cases were attributed to the exposure categories of MSM or the combination of MSM and intravenous drug use. King County, which is where Seattle is located, has about 57% of all new cases. So in Washington, the HIV/AIDS epidemic is very urban-centric, MSM-centric. So on World AIDS Day in 2014, the Washington State Governor, Jay Inslee, signed the Proclamation to End AIDS. And it's a collaboration between the Washington State Health Department, local public health jurisdictions, health HIV providers, and community groups, with the goal of reducing the new HIV cases in Washington State by 50% by 2020. And this proclamation, the End AIDS Washington campaign, had four main goals. Or has four main goals: get insured, get tested, get PrEP, and get treatment. So today I'll be talking about PrEP, and PrEP is a relatively new prevention strategy where HIV-negative individuals can take a daily pill to prevent HIV. So Truvada, which is a common drug used in HIV cocktails for people who are HIV positive, was approved in 2012 by the FDA for PrEP. Clinical trials demonstrate that when taken daily, PrEP is 90 to 96% effective at preventing HIV among those at risk of acquiring HIV sexually, and 70% effective at preventing HIV among people who use injection drugs. And it's a daily pill, but people can take it less often, but we don't really know how effective it is at that point. So in 2013, the Washington State Department of HIV, the Health HIV Care and Prevention Programs, as well as the HIV state planning body and HIV clinicians around the state, recognized that there was a lot of interest in PrEP, but the cost remained prohibitive for many people interested in it. The Drug Manufacturers Program or Assistance Program only aided people with very low income and wasn't very helpful for a lot of people interested in getting on or getting PrEP. So the state took kind of the same model of ADAP, which is the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, and unveiled PrEPDAP, Pre-Exposure Drug Assistance Program. It's kind of a mouthful. And they unveiled that in 2014, which is the first such program that was run by the state. So PrEPDAP is a program where individuals can in Washington who are HIV negative can get their Truvada or their PrEP medication paid for by the state. And it launched in April of 2014, so actually pretty fast from its inception in late 2013 to 2014, and was largely spread by word of mouth initially. And initially, PrEPDAP didn't have any income requirements, but it just required that patients be, or applicants be HIV negative, live in Washington State, and meet certain risk categories, and I'll get to that a little later. So an individual applies to be enrolled in the PrEPDAP program, and if they are accepted by meeting those criteria, then HIV case managers at the state level try and find the most prudent way for that individual to get PrEP. So that could mean paying for a copay for prescription, it could mean paying for the medication outright, and it could mean actually paying for that applicant to get health insurance, and then so PrEP would be less expensive for them, and possibly also paying for the copay for that. So there's a couple different routes that HIV case managers try to find to get people enrolled and get PrEP. Initially, the program staff anticipated that about 200 people would be interested in being clients in the PrepDAP program, and as of April this year, there were almost 700 active enrollees, and program staff have reviewed over 1,000 applications. So it's really taken off. It's over three times as large as originally anticipated. And the most exciting news is that to date, no one enrolled in the PrepDAP program has yet to seroconvert to HIV. So that's a really exciting kind of step forward for the whole End AIDS Proclamation Group and our state health department. So last year, when I was at CST in Boston, I happened across the Pride Parade, which happened around the same time, and I actually saw this billboard truck. And if you notice off to the side, I was really excited to see that, you know, PrEP wasn't FDA approved until 2012, and here in 2015, it's on a billboard at a gay rights event and, you know, a high-risk population. But I noticed off to the side it says, "You have choices, condoms or PrEP." And I thought, well, that's interesting because they both prevent HIV, but only one of those prevention strategies prevents against other STDs. And so it made me wonder if people are going to get, you know, enrolled in PrEP, you know, however they get it, privately or through our program, are they still going to use condoms to prevent other STDs? And that's kind of one of the main questions that goes around is, well, are people still going to use condoms to prevent other things? So it's a really hard question to answer because, in a population level, because, you know, it's looking at insurance, or, you know, insurance companies might have this, but they might not have the STD information. We at the State Health Department have the STD information, but weren't always sure who was on PrEP and who wasn't. But with PrepDAP, we were really able to see, okay, well, now that this is a state program and we know exactly who's enrolled in PrepDAP, we can then match that to our STD data to determine if patients are still using condoms and kind of the proxy of that is, are they still acquiring STDs at the same rate or are they acquiring more STDs? So we looked at our PrepDAP data and took all clients enrolled in PrepDAP as of September 1st, 2015, and we got their patient demographic information and risk factor from their application for PrepDAP. And then how the program was set up is that when the application was accepted, or when the state health department received the application, they dated the eligibility for that client 1 year out. So every client needs to get re-enrolled every year. So we had their enrollment date information. And then for this analysis, we only took clients that were active for at least 180 days in PrEP. We then took that list of PrepDAP clients, I'll keep referring to it as the study group, and matched that to the STD data in our state using Link Plus. And we looked at case information for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and primary and secondary syphilis. So the strata were defined by the people who were enrolled in PrepDAP. So in the yellow bars, they could have been, if each bar is like a person of when they enrolled. So we had people who were enrolled right from the beginning of the program in April of 2014, all the way to when we kind of froze our data for this project. We had people of varying lengths. So some people started their enrollment period after that. Some people ended before we froze our data, so all different lengths of time. And so we calculated how long they were actually enrolled in the PrepDAP program, and then we found their STD history going back from that date. So if they were enrolled in PrepDAP for 6 months, then we looked at their STD history for the 6 months before their enrollment date. So the STD history of interest here in red is kind of what we looked at. And then, so the strata were defined by basically all of the, by the people when they were enrolled in PrepDAP, the yellow bars, and then also the STD history corresponding to the time right before they were enrolled. And I also want to mention that I'll say enrolled in PrepDAP and study group, but these are the people enrolled. We're not sure if they were actually taking the medication, and at the time, that this program started, we hadn't yet matched up who was actually picking up their prescriptions from their the pharmacy. So it really is just enrollment in PrepDAP. So we found there were 263 people who met study criteria. They were largely male, white, non-Hispanic, and resided in King County for the most part. Average age was almost 38, ranging 18 to 70 years old. And the average time enrolled in PrepDAP was 41 weeks. And we had people ranging from 6 months to almost 19 months. 24% had reported that they had an HIV-positive partner, sexual partner, and that was one of the risk criteria that they had to meet. Or they had to be MSM with various other risk factors. So 78% of those enrolled were MSM, and over half had 10 or more sex partners. Nearly half had unprotected anal sex with a partner of unknown HIV status, and so forth. In looking at chlamydia, we looked at not just if they had been if somebody in the study group had been diagnosed with chlamydia, but how many cases you can see, and then also if they had at least one case of chlamydia, and you can see that we did a chi-square test. There was a significant difference in the number of chlamydia cases prior to enrollment in PrepDAP compared to during enrollment in PrepDAP. Likewise, there were twice as many gonorrhea cases, or twice as many people who had at least one gonorrhea case during the PrepDAP enrollment compared to prior to PrepDAP enrollment, and that was also statistically significant. And there was not a statistical significant difference in the number of primary and secondary syphilis cases in the two groups. In combining all of the STDs to see how many people were diagnosed with at least one STD of any of the three types, we also found a statistical difference there. So in looking at the most common risk factors, MSM, and then the two to the right are MSM and 10 plus sex partners, or MSM and unprotected anal sex, we found that there was an increase in the number of, or the percent of people who had been diagnosed with at least one STD while enrolled in PrepDAP. And when looking at the magnitude of the association, the only factor that led to an increased odds of acquiring an STD while enrolled in PrepDAP was having a history of an STD before enrolling in PrepDAP. So people who had an STD were three times had an STD after or during PrepDAP enrollment were more likely to have had an STD before enrollment. And this actually kind of led to a lot of limitations. One main factor is that our study group was incredibly homogeneous. So it was really hard to look at subpopulations within our study group to kind of tease apart who of those people was most at risk of being diagnosed with an STD. And if you'll remember just from the initial breakdown, nearly all were men, all MSM, majority lived in King County, which is where Seattle is. We also weren't able to determine if somebody was already taking PrEP before enrolling in PrepDAP. It is a possibility that somebody was getting PrEP through their private insurance or paying for it, and once hearing about the PrepDAP program, decided to utilize that to make it more cost effective for them. There was also no validation of risk factor information on the PrepDAP application. So, and we have anecdotal evidence to suggest that some people may have exaggerated their risk factors or their behaviors in order to ensure that they would be able to be accepted into the PrepDAP program. Individuals picked up their PrEP or Truvada prescription all at pharmacies throughout the state, And so we're not really sure what kind of pharmacy counseling they got at individual pharmacies, and that could have impacted whether somebody knew to use condoms or not. As I mentioned before, the HIV planning body in our state, as well as Department of Health, had thought about preparing PrepDAP in late 2013, and it was launched by April of 2014, which is a huge success that it was done so quickly and really great for public health, but there was very little involvement of any kind of epi or assessment people kind of in the inception of the program, so it's been a little tricky to try and analyze how effective the program is, because that wasn't really part of the program launching. We also were not able at this time to determine who was actually picking up their prescriptions, let alone who was actually taking their medication daily. Most recently, we found that 75% of prescriptions are being picked up, which means there are 25% of all prescriptions that are not being picked up. So it is likely that people who we assumed were on PrEP, and that's why I wanted to say that they are enrolled in the PrepDAP program versus taking their daily Truvada pill. So there could be some differences there. And finally, one of the clinical guidelines for PrEP is that their provider tests them for HIV every 3 months. And we have information on if the provider is testing them for HIV, but it is feasible to assume that they might be also getting tested for other STDs and maybe weren't as tested, are being tested more frequently now enrolled in PrEP. So for future work, we have a lot of work to do to see kind of how effective this program is and how it impacts STD diagnoses in our state. Because the sample size and the study group is so small, I think focus groups and qualitative data might be kind of the way to go to determine how people are using PrEP and what their behaviors are while taking PrEP. Right now, DIS for STDs will actually refer some people with, depending on their STD diagnoses, if they have their MSM and get rectal gonorrhea or early syphilis, they'll refer them to PrEP and possibly PrepDAP, which is a really great kind of loop we have going on, but it would also be nice to kind of close that loop so if someone is diagnosed with an STD and are already on PrEP, they can get additional counseling kind of in that direction. And then the other thing that a lot of people ask about is the types of infections that people are getting on while enrolled in PrepDAP. And that's something that we could look into the future, perhaps once the program has been going for longer. So high-risk sexual activity continues to occur in a minority of PrepDAP enrollees. And as we saw, that there is an increase in the overall number of people who were diagnosed with at least one STD. But I want to kind of put that in context, that HIV still remains the bigger health threat. And so we need to still remember that this is not, even though there are more STDs in the PrepDAP enrollee group, the study group, it's still being a very effective intervention for preventing HIV. And really, the more we know about PrEP and how it works and what it impacts, the better. It's state-funded and largely depends on legislative support. So the more we know, the more likely that we'll have future support for this. So I'd like to thank my co-authors, Teal Bell, Emily Hanschoten, and the whole HIV STD surveillance staff at Department of Health in Washington. Are we doing questions now?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for Claire? If you could please come to the microphone, the sessions are being recorded. While we wait for others to come forward, do you have a sense of what proportion of people are getting PrEP through the non-PrepDAP program, say through private insurance or private providers?
No. I wish we did.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.